Well, what a great gift it is for me to be with all of you today to install your new pastor, Pastor Dana. Some of you are very kind to say, are you my new pastor? And I was like, actually, it's Dana. And so now you know it's Dana, and I'm so pleased. Thank you to the work of the call committee who worked so diligently and hard listening to God. And this is just a wonderful day to celebrate. Thank you for the invitation. So grace and peace to all of you from the one who is with you wherever you go, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Question for you. Is knowing the Lord your God is with you wherever you go enough? Is it enough when you lose your job? Is it enough when you turn on the news and doom scroll through your media page and your heart falls into despair? Is it enough when you hear the words, there's nothing we can do? Or is it enough when your marriage ends? Is it enough when you stand at the grave of a loved one and commend them to God? Is the promise of God with you enough when you go on a mission trip or prepare to welcome a child into the world or move to a new city? Is it enough when you are asked to make really hard decisions, when people are counting on you to lead? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, are the words Joshua hears before he leads God's people into the promised land. Now in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, an ending begets a new start. It begins, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. All right, Joshua, Moses, the Moses, has died, and you are the one who gets to pick up the mantle. Right? I know that being led out of generational slavery in Egypt was a big deal. Right? And then there were those quick 40 years, plus or minus, you know, wandering in the wilderness. Maybe you're sick of manna and quail just like everybody else, Joshua. Right? But you, Joshua, are going to lead the people into this new day, in this new land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. Is that enough? These are important words for someone who is to lead people into a land that will not be all milk and honey, right? In fact, its land is already occupied by a people, and they're called the Canaanites. And although we could take a deep dive on the biblical ethics as presented in the book of Joshua, including the realities of a manifest destiny mindset, which we can see all over the world today, it's very problematic. That's not where we'll focus today. I'm leaving it to your pastors to have a nice and robust Bible study on the book of Joshua and follow up with them on that, right? It's a doozy. But what matters, I think, in our short time together this morning is the gospel, the promise of God to be with you always, wherever you go. If we know anything at all, we know that human history is quite complicated. It's always both and. It's courage and strength, while at the same time being frightening and despairing. When we are frightened, God gives us courage. When we are despairing, God gives us strength. There are stories upon stories of people of faith enduring the unthinkable because Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. So when Pastor Eric sent me the verse today, I immediately thought of two women I encountered while in Haiti. And part of my story is that I was in Port-au-Prince on January 12, 2010, during the major earthquake that hit that country. It's estimated that over 300,000 people died and over 1 million people displaced. This is still ongoing, 15 years later, the recovery there. And there's so much to this story, including courage and strength that I witnessed, but also fear and despair. And for the sake of brevity, I will share with you that my husband Ben was among those who died in the earthquake. And so we were together on the fifth floor of a guest home, which actually happened to be a home for what we call restivec children. These are slave children, children who were slaves on the street, who were staying in a home and got to go to school and got to live in community with a home for boys. So that's where we were. And the earth began to shake, and a couple of the floors above us collapsed onto us. And I was in a pocket of space and lived, but Ben was buried, and I never saw him again. Although I did hear him singing, which is a story for another day. So I was able to dig myself out and be onto the roof. And there were Haitians who helped us, those of us who were trapped on this kind of swaying building, down to the street into a vacant lot, where we spent the night with many people who were surviving and dying. So one of my strongest memories of that long night was one Haitian woman who sang hymns the entire night. And sometimes people joined her, and she only stopped to offer prayer. It blew me away. And these were hymns that I recognized that we would sing on a Sunday morning, only they were in French, not English. Aftershocks ignited fear, and the dying brought some to despair. But the one who sang praise to God with her breath gave courage and strength. Where does she find that? Throughout the night, I clung to hope that Ben was still alive and that we could dig him out of the rubble. And so the next morning, I searched everywhere in the damaged building, and I asked neighbors if they had seen him, and they had not. And the last neighbor I went to, when she said to me, "No, I haven't seen him," I realized in that moment that Ben was still buried and that he was no longer alive. And she must have seen the absolute just desolation on my face, for she looked me straight in the eyes and said, "Courage, courage, courage. I'll never forget it." What does it mean to have courage in the face of something like this? Is it enough to know God is with you when the worst happens? The biblical witness emphatically proclaims, yes, it is. It is amazing to me how many scripture verses call to mind from just this one verse in Joshua. Joshua is not the only prophet to have been given God's promise to be with him always. The promise was also given to his predecessor Moses, right? And what Moses endured, and all these other prophets who came along the way. Psalm 23, a favorite of many, says this, and I'm sure you could even say it with me, right? "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." For you are with me. It's as if the psalmist is saying, no matter what happens in this life, Lord, I know that you are with me, and that is enough. When the angel Gabriel shows up in Mary's world with a life-changing message, the first words out of his mouth to her were, "Greetings, favored one." What? "For the Lord is with you." Get ready, Mary, because you are going to bear the life of the world, and a sword too shall pierce your own heart, right? Both and. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says this, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him," what? "Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Oh, you know your scripture here at Spirit of Joy. This is so fun. And then the very last verse of Matthew in chapter 28, Jesus promises you and me, and you're going to hear it in the installation for Pastor Dana. The very last thing Jesus says in the entire Gospel of Matthew is what? Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Right? This promise of God with us really does matter. It doesn't mean that you will never be afraid. Fear is a response. We're afraid all the time. It doesn't mean you will never despair. But it does mean that no matter what happens in life and in death, God is with you. As a Lutheran, I find the structure of Joshua 1, verse 9 fascinating. It's like a beautiful package of law and gospel. Right? It begins, I hereby command you. And what's a command? It's the law, right? Be courageous. Be strong. Like, okay, God, I sure will, right? It's like the woman being like, courage. Yeah, okay, got it, right? Be strong. Be this. Do not be this. Do not be frightened. Do not. That's the law, right? It's something we got to do. It's about me, what I can and cannot do. The gospel, on the other hand, is what God does. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It is not your own doing. It is God's action. It is God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness that reaches into the world and is given to you, each of you. For you are loved. You are forgiven. And this is simply and most profoundly the mercy of God. Incredible grace. The truth is, we can only be strong and courageous because God is with us. That's it. And sometimes when life throws us a bunch of curveballs, we need the rest of the body of Christ to be strong and courageous for us until we can breathe again. Can we not? Right? Today, as a congregation, you welcome a fellow sister in Christ, Dana Weltzien. And in a bit, you will make promises to one another as people of God. And one of the reasons you will hear why she has been called among you is to proclaim the good news. The good news for the sake of the world is that Christ is with you, that you are forgiven and loved unconditionally by God. And man, we cannot hear that enough. And sometimes, and actually most days, pastors need to hear that too. I know you have a bunch in here, right? As people, I think the joke is like you can't throw a rock and not hit a clergy person at Spirit of Joy or something like that, right? So yes, they need to hear this too, right? And so we know, Pastor Dana, that you were serving a congregation before you came here, right? You faithfully served a people in a place. You moved from one city, and now you live in a new city. You're stepping into this new call in faith that the Spirit of God has led you here and that God is with you. We believe that, right? And we know that God has already been here, right, as you join the people of God here in ministry at Spirit of Joy. We trust that this is true because God keeps God's promises. Simple as that. So deep in the Cascade Mountains in Washington State, there's a remote wilderness community steeped and rooted in Lutheran tradition called Holden Village. Have any of you been out to Holden Village? Oh, I figured there'd be some hands, right? Kind of a magical place. And there's a prayer that has deeply shaped that community for quite some time, and it's called the Prayer of Good Courage. It was first written by a man named Eric Milner White, and he was the dean of the chapel at King's College in Cambridge from 1920 to 1941. And this prayer was prayed by many experiencing war, right? World War I was over and moving into World War II. And it's currently used at Holden Village whenever they send people out. And it's also in many ecumenical congregations. It's also in our red hymnal and was first printed in the SBH. Who remembers the SBH? Service Book and Hymnal. I see some smiles like, yep, right? Love that. So it was first printed in that, right? And so this prayer helps people on their way all the time. And if you know it, you can pray it with me. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending. By paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown, give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a good prayer, right? It's this stepping into something new and unknown, knowing that God is with you wherever you go. So back to this original question, right? Is knowing the Lord your God is with you wherever you go enough? It was enough for Joshua. The answer was yes, right? And for you and me, thousands of years later, the answer is still yes. Yes, it is. And for this, we say thanks be to God.